Did you guys hear about the Tampa Bay cornerback that blew a couple of his fingers off for the 4th of July with the fireworks?
I heard something about that. Apparently, there's been a lot of fireworks injuries going around lately.
Oh, he's not the only guy, huh?
No, he's not the only guy, but he did blow off a couple of fingers.
You know, the best thing about it as being a Tampa Bay player is
I have no idea.
he gets to wear a hook now on his hand.
Phew, man.
That's funny. I think it's funny because it's obviously contrived.
I'm just like,
Obviously.
tar, that's terrible.
That's tar.
Terrible.
No,
Anyway,
but
plug that in behind it, and then
I
that's
think
your
the
point.
beauty is that, yeah, where
Because that is so
99%
dumb.
of our cold opens are natural, and I think it's funny that that one is contrived.
That's
Pirate
the fourth
jokes
one.
should always be contrived. It's just funny.
It'd be a lot cooler if it was actually like Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Oh, yeah, that'd be
That
good.
means you would have to talk like you had two fingers blown off. How do you do that? Would you talk any differently if you didn't have two
I'd
fingers?
say,
Arr!
oh no.
See, that there's your cold open.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm going to say my drunk scale rating tonight is a 3.5. Yeah, I had a large screwdriver earlier at the pool.
Okay, what's the difference between a large and a medium?
It's one of those giant LSU stadium cups.
Is a large?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you know, if you go to LSU, you get a stadium
Right,
cup.
you get the plastic cup that you can
Yeah.
take home in.
Yes. It was that.
Okay. Did
And
LSU approve those cups at your pool?
then.
Probably not.
Sure. And I had a couple of apparently 10-ounce beers since then. So, like Jason and Damon identified last week, this is the dead zone where not much is happening in the world of the NFL, which means that this is the Dome Patrol podcast
Dot com.
episode where we talk about everything else. All right, I think someone played golf somewhere. The Pelicans did something worth talking about. High school football players got some help from some NFL players, and so put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. By the way, that's the way to say it, Jason.
I was just thinking, for some reason, even though I've heard it every single week for the last year and a half, I just couldn't remember when I had to say it.
Yeah, so welcome to the show. What's your number?
I am gonna go with a 4.4.
Oh, a low estimate. All right.
Well, I mean, I've had to pace myself because it is currently 10 o'clock. I started drinking at about 1 o'clock today. I went to a day wedding, so I had some drinks.
Oh, I love day weddings.
Then I kind of, took a like, I drank some Jack for a while. Then I kind of took a back seat, drank some beer. Then I went somewhere and drank a margarita. But then I drink a water, and then I came home, and then I drink more bourbon. So I'm trying to keep, like, I didn't want to get too crazy and then just be hung over when I'm on the show. So
No, you're gonna throw up tonight.
no, I actually think I'm at a I have drank at a medium pace. All you Adam Sandler fans don't know what I'm talking about.
And with that, Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Zero.
Ah, you pussy. You fucking pussy.
Oh, Damon, you're in for one tonight. We both have numbers, and you don't.
As is, of course, the tradition.
So, real quick, I do want to make a note. You know, hey, last week I was on vacation. You guys carried the show. I thought you did a fantastic job. I listened to it, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thoroughly enjoyed the reminiscing of the 06 season. It got me hyped up. I mean, Jason, your attempt at the seatbelts, hands and legs inside was fun.
I tried. I ride a lot of roller coasters, so I'm used to securing my seatbelt. I just couldn't figure out how to do the podcast,
That's
though.
right. And I also like the outro where it's kind of like you're like, yeah, Facebook, Twitter, or something else going on. No, look, I mean, you guys, fantastic job. If anything, you prove that the show certainly does not need me. So.
Well,
Well,
most people already knew that, but.
I mean, I don't feel like hosting every week, so we're gonna need you.
Well, there you go. What I really loved about it more than anything was you didn't go back to the easy 09 or even 20, what was it?
11.
I mean, 2011 was our best team, for sure. It's just
you were back in 06 when it started.
Well, I mean, just and that too. Just thinking, like, you know, where we are now as a team, you know, considering, like, you know, how many years left does Breeze have? I mean, Colson's on his last legs. You know, all these guys that we've associated with over this era. I mean, we're not, like, we are used to winning football now. You know, I mean, for so long, it was so hard. I mean, yeah, we got excited, but in the back of our minds, like, we knew, like, you know, we're never going to win the, you know, we're not, it's, we may have a good season here and there. It was never realistic to be great. And now, like, with, you know, after that first year and the coming back and having a good season and having a real quarterback, a real coach, having a guy like Reggie, it's like, we just had the feeling like, yes, we could beat anybody. And we've had, I mean, it's been like this since 06. This is an unprecedented run for us, and it things just don't, you know, at some point it's going to run out, and it's going to suck for a while. It's inevitable that that's going to happen at some point. Even the mighty Patriots, as good as they are, when Tom Brady retires, you know what? They're going to suck for a while.
Unless they pull a Favre to Rodgers concept.
But even then, there'll at least be a shitty season in between, like the Colts. The Colts had a terrible season in between. They were 2-14.
Oh, I'll take that. I will take a single bad season.
Right, but I mean that doesn't happen. I mean, that happens.
Yeah, no, yeah.
You know, like 3% of the time. The right. Anomaly. I mean, it's
not even. I mean, you can name it Montana to Young.
Right.
Right.
Like Favre to
Rodgers. To Rodgers. Rodgers. Manning to Luck.
I mean, what else?
I mean, right. That's pretty much it. You know.
Oh, Testaverde to Leinart.
I love that you guys brought that up too, like talking about the draft.
Right. I mean, right. Think about it. Assuming we all thought, well, there's no way we're getting Reggie Bush. We didn't know that we were going to sign Breeze. You're like, well, Leinart's the guy. I want Leinart.
Going through it. I mean, like you said, I hadn't. I mean, you always have the memories in your head, but you guys went through it in such a way that as I'm listening to the show, all those emotions of the 06 season came back. And I got to say, you know, other than the 09 season, that 06 season was in a lot of ways more magical. It was because at least by 09, we kind of expected to be good. But 06, it was like, holy shit, this is happening.
I mean,
this is happening.
I mean, think about it. We almost didn't have a team. We didn't know if they were going to be back or not. They came back. They were good. We had a quarterback. We had a coach. And you know, and we won. I mean, think about it. We got the farthest this team has ever got up to that point, get to the NFC title game.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole season was just so if we came back during a rebirth season when 8-8 could come, because we were coming off 3-13, we'd have been fine with it. We'd have been like, dude, that was a great season. We went 8-8. We were on the rise. Like, we'd be excited, much less do what we did and get to the playoffs, get a bye, and actually win a playoff game at home.
Yeah. And you guys talked about what y'all did for the Chicago game. And I'd say if I was on the show, I would at least want to contribute. I think, Damon, you made a joke at my expense at that time, and I did laugh. But what I really did do is we bought tickets. We drove up to Chicago. We went to the game.
That's right. I remember hearing your stories from the game.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, the Chicago fans were not nice.
They were not nice. So fuck you, Chicago. anyway. Let's move on. Just want to say, hey, good job on the show last week. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm glad to be back.
Good to have you back.
All right, so let's go into our first segment. We don't have any Saints headlines to really talk about, so we're going to go straight into NFL Reach Around. And our top story of the NFL reach around is the Greg Hardy suspension being reduced. What was it? Originally, it was supposed to be 10 games. It's reduced down to 4 games now.
His word is he may still even appeal the 4 and try to get less than that.
How did it get reduced?
An arbitrator came in and said, Roger, you're a fucking jackass. Like, how did you determine 10? Like, because he already sat out a lot of games last year. I mean,
he sat out the whole season last year.
That's a lot of games.
Oh, the entire season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So 16, that's why he's appealing to 4 then.
But I mean, I guess the whole thing with the suspensions is that you're punishing them monetarily. So even though he missed all the games last year,
he still got paid.
He got paid because if you remember, he was on the NFL commissioner's exempt list, I have no idea what that is. But so he got paid.
Okay.
That really just hurt the Panthers by not having a player that they could.
And think about it. He basically extended his life by 5 years for not playing one season in the NFL, if you think about it.
What's his name? The Saints guy. Can't remember whose life was ruined. His NFL life was ruined by the bounty shit.
Anthony Hargrove.
Yeah, Anthony Hargrove.
Right. I mean, if you read the same story I did, I forget where I read it.
Maybe like Sports Illustrated.
His
NFL career was ruined by that.
Yeah, completely ruined by bounty, which was never proven true for him.
Right. And I mean, that is such.
It's just risky.
Well, it's just sad what happened to him.
It's just risky to play for the NFL to play so loose and with guys' lives.
They can get away with whatever they want.
It's morally irresponsible, and that's what I think everybody's problem.
It is, but we all know that. We all know that the NFL operates like that.
What can be done? I mean, the reason I brought this up is fuck the whole Greg Hardy thing. It doesn't affect us as Saints fans so much until we play Dallas. But I mean, to me, the real issue here that we would discuss, and we have discussed this time over time on this podcast, and I hate to bring it up again, but God damn it, we have to. The whole NFL discipline policy and Roger Goodell. At what point does it become a problem for the NFL to where they do something about it?
People have to stop paying for it. They have to start losing money. That's the only way that will change anything.
Right.
You know, we've been talking about this since 2012. You know, like, he fucked us.
He fucked us. The handling of everything last year.
Everything. The Ray Rice.
Adrian Peterson. And the Tom Brady this year, it's just total.
Roger Goodell has botched so many things, yet he maintains his job because they're not losing any money. They're actually making more money.
Let me just tell you, if you are a Colts fan right now, listening to this show, and I know there's one.
oh, is there?
Yes, there is. He will fuck your
team. Fuck the Colts!
No, calm down.
Well, no, that went out to that one listener. So
If
we lose a Colts listener, sorry. Buddy, fuck the
Colts. I'm saying he will fuck your team some way in the next 2 years. I mean, don't be apathetic because it hasn't happened to you yet. It will happen to you.
Well, look, I mean that can be said about Robert Kraft.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he was all behind the commissioner and that. And again. But of all of them, bounty is the worst because it's a made-up, contrived bullshit. And you know what? I will not use the B word anymore. You know, because it's not a bounty. It was a pay for performance. That's all it was.
Yep.
To pipe the player. There was no bounty. And that's, you know, that's one of the things when you're trying to create a controversy. You know, you get there and label it. So the label that you'll see in all the newspapers and everything, bounty gate. It wasn't a fucking bounty.
Throw the word gate after anything. I mean,
well, of course. That's what the media does because that's what the media does.
Well, it's controversy or whatever. But anyway, but you know, if it was never a bounty, not even close to being proven. And that you would believe, again, we all remember it, a fucking disgruntled employee who was a piece of shit employee.
Mike fucking Cerullo.
Well, right. On a napkin, made up numbers, and the first number he gave him was so ludicrous. Literally something that he wrote on a napkin.
It was fucking made up. But it fit the NFL's narrative, so they went with it.
All I'm saying is I am calling upon all the Dome Patrol podcast listeners. The NFL fans need to bond together, regardless of what team you are, and start to rally for the ousting of Roger Goodell.
As of now, Hardy will still miss the game against the Saints, which is good news. You know, if it stands at 4, we play them in their fourth game, so at least he won't play against us.
Yeah, well, I don't see how he can reduce it any further than 4. I mean, that's goddamn ridiculous.
He threw his girlfriend on a bed full of loaded automatic rifles. You know, fuck him.
Did he kill her?
No, but he's still a fucking crazy asshole.
Yeah, okay. And then he was suspended for all but the first game, so he missed 15 games.
You know, he doesn't play for my team, so fuck him. Be suspended.
No. That was the old mentality. But at this point, we're trying to create...
Kill Roger Goodell? No.
For get rid of Roger Goodell. So every player... I mean, we have to unite. I mean, we have to form a union here. The NFLPA. Hello? I mean, I don't care what team. I would support a Falcons player at this point if it means getting Roger Goodell out of his position.
Oh, man. I don't know. That's a tough...
I think Goodell is a bigger villain than the Falcons.
Well, if it meant beating Roger Goodell, yeah. I guess you do make a point. Like, Roger Goodell is such an asshole. Like, I would kind of...
This is important. Even though he's not our player and it has nothing to do with us, it's important because Roger Goodell... will eventually, like, they don't want to get rid of him now, and y'all are right. As long as tickets are being sold and money's being made, nobody's going to make a change. But what's happening is that slow.
If it didn't happen last year, it's not
gonna happen,
going to happen.
Okay.
I mean, the next one. Look, every screw up pushes him closer and closer to the edge.
Right.
Last year was the first time that you actually got the media. Calling for Goodell's ouster.
Okay, so progress.
Right, so it's progress. Right,
but it still
happened. Well, it happened last year. Again, the next screw up will be bigger and
hopefully.
Probably his last.
I don't know. These owners fucking love him too much.
Now let's move on. Manning Passing Academy.
Annual tradition where Damon, do you ever go to the Manning Passing Academy and just drool all day?
It was held down in Thibodeau, Louisiana.
Good, right?
At Nichols.
Well, the Mannings are a great New Orleans family. I'm sorry if someone like you doesn't appreciate the New Orleans lifestyle and people who give back.
I am a big fan.
The deal is the Mannings held a passing academy down in Thibodeau, Louisiana.
It is nice that they have it in Louisiana every year. Yeah.
This passing academy has grown in popularity. Guys like Russell Wilson, who we know Damon's a big fan of, Colin Kaepernick have been there, Matthew Stafford, Philip
Aaron Luck,
Andrew Luck, Sam Bradford, Nick Foles, and I mean, a lot of top quarterbacks have come through this.
And even Sean Payton made an appearance down there.
And I mean, honestly and speaking, because the next topic is, let's not make them separate. Let's talk about Manning Passing Academy and Breeze Passing Academy that was just held in Orlando at the same time. Let's not make them separate topics. Let's talk about them together. Could Breeze's Passing Academy, I mean, I know Archie started this years and years ago, so you have a lot more, but Breeze doesn't have that kind of name.
Well, because Breeze is just one guy. Yeah. He doesn't have Archie and then the two sons.
Mark Ingram was there with Breeze.
Because it's in Louisiana, he's already
here. Patrick Peterson.
Right.
It's established. It is the preeminent camp for, you know, high school quarterbacks.
In the country. And it's not just high school quarterbacks. They take some college quarterbacks. And the camp started in 96 when Peyton was just a sophomore or junior.
Freshman or sophomore,
yeah. You know, somewhere around there in Tennessee. And he says why he started it is that he would look at the box scores, you know, of the local high school teams and, you know, around the New Orleans and Louisiana area. And he said, you know, a team would win 43-0 and the quarterback would be 3 of 5.
Right.
You know,
there's a lot of rushing down here back in the day.
You know, so he wanted to bring, you know, help the passing game, to do what he thought he could do. So they started in 96 and they were at Tulane. And then quickly outgrew Tulane and went to Southeastern, and quickly outgrew Southeastern to become, you know, go to Nichols where they are now. And again, I think they have 1,100 participants, and it's a great experience for these young quarterbacks being able to pick the brains of Eli, two Super Bowl MVPs.
Right,
that's insane.
You know, at least one Hall of Famer, possibly a second Hall of Famer.
Right. And it's grown, and it is the premier academy. Archie talked about how Disney had approached them before to do a Passing Academy there. And Peyton said, no, they don't want to do it. You know, this is for his hometown, you know,
his hometown,
where he grew up,
Thibodeau. Yeah.
Where he grew up.
Right. Of course, his hometown, Thibodeau.
You know, mm-hmm. But again, it's a lot easier to get.
Why can't he do it at Tulane? No, it's easier to get the Tulane.
Because Tulane can't provide the living spaces for all the... All
right, so go on. All right. So.
No, look, it is good that they have the camp in Louisiana. It draws a lot of high school, a lot of college, college talent. Sean Payton's down here. He actually, with his son being down here, Payton actually hopped in and, helped out some guys. And then, Mike McCarthy's son apparently is down here too, so he's down here. So it is nice, towards the end of the summer, we only have 2 more weeks until training camp starts, so it's the end of the dead zone. People are just dying for football, and to bring a big football camp like that down here where we all love football is a good thing. And even, fucking Chris Mortensen's down here.
Fuck Chris Mortensen.
Hey, fuck you, buddy.
Never liked him, never cared for him. I don't give a shit if he's here. If he fell off a fucking in the swamp and got eaten by an alligator, I'd celebrate.
All right, I'm not a huge fan of his either. I'm just saying, the camp
doesn't matter that he's here.
The camp does draw attention.
Doesn't matter that he's here.
Okay.
To me.
All right, fuck him.
There you go. As long as everyone on the show agrees with me, we're good to go.
Yeah.
All right, so, Damon, you did have something that you wanted to talk about, the Breeze Academy in Orlando.
Well, again, this is for, that guy fans like Jason.
I'm right here. What you got?
Yeah, who doesn't believe that Drew Brees, can't do anything wrong or any organization or whatever.
That's not fair. I don't think he believes Jimmy Johns.
Right. Yeah. I said fuck Jimmy Johns.
I think Jason loves Jimmy Johns.
Right.
Oh,
right.
By the way, Jimmy Johns just opened in Alexandria.
In Covington. Oh, Alexandria too? Yeah, oh, yeah.
Up here.
Yep. You should order a bunch of them and then say, deliver them to Damon.
It's the three-hour delivery. I don't know if they do it.
If you paid extra, Tim delivered from Alexandria, and the driver shows up.
But wait, wouldn't
Damon's
it make
house.
More sense if I just called the closest one to Damon's house and did it? Because the whole
it would be cheaper for you. It would be more fun if the guy actually went to Alexandria down here and said, "Man, I've driven 3 hours just to give you."
And stands there with a cowboy's
right. He's gonna have a country accent with him too. It works.
I got your Jimmy Johns.
Here's your Jimmy Johns.
When they opened it here, it's not Jimmy Johns here. It's actually Jimmy Johnson's.
Oh, fuck.
You see what I did there?
That's not what you did.
Yeehaw. All right, Damon.
How about them Jimmy Johns?
All right. Damon.
Right.
Breeze passing academy.
Right. Well, I just think it's typical of Breeze.
Thank you for your patience, by the way.
to have his passing academy in Florida and.
Well, look, if
living in San Diego and
look, if the Mannings already have their academy in Louisiana, why have an academy in the same spot that the Mannings?
You can make Louisiana the mecca of football.
But everybody's only going to go to. They're already coming to Louisiana. They're only coming to Louisiana once. They're going to go to the Manning Academy.
I respectfully disagree.
Then you will get other people who can attend the Drew Brees passing academy.
You've got a lot of football players in Florida that maybe don't have the means to fly over to New Orleans and Thibodeau.
Drew Brees is doing it in Orlando. Let's be fucking honest here, folks. He's doing it in Orlando because it's a free trip for his family to Disney World.
Exactly.
Yes, indeed. Exactly. I'm all about that.
The man doesn't need a free trip to Disney World every year.
He doesn't, but if somebody offered you a free trip.
I need a free
trip. If you were going to do the podcast in a hotel room and somebody said, "Then we'll give you a free trip," you'd fucking.
No, yeah, because I'm fucking not $60 million quarterback in the NFL.
Even if you were, you still going to still
take
a free trip.
Think about it. If you had the Mannings and Drew Brees, the Mannings, the royal family of the NFL, Drew Brees.
You know what? I don't think Mannings.
One of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Both camps in Louisiana. People aren't going to come for location. They're coming because it's fucking Drew Brees' camp. So you will establish Louisiana as the premier place to go for quarterbacking in the NFL.
Well, I think Peyton and Eli are trying to do that.
Right, but wouldn't it help if Breeze did his camp there?
I don't think it's going to be.
I can't go this week for the Mannings because of conflicting schedules, but I'll go the following week for Breeze.
Right, so I'll just go to Disney World instead. I don't think it matters. Maybe Peyton's a little bitter that Breeze beat him in the Super Bowl.
No.
What? Probably not, but it's fun to say.
I agree, but it's
yeah, all, fuck him.
It's mine.
Wait, what?
Maybe Peyton's a little jealous that Breeze beat him in the Super Bowl.
So he does what?
I don't know. Nothing. So, he lost to the Patriots.
I think so, Jason, what we're trying to do is just at least say, ha ha, we beat you in the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Right. Fuck Peyton. We beat him in the Super Bowl. Fuck him. Yeah, that's all I'm trying to say.
But at least he can get two different teams in the Super Bowl.
Who cares? How many Super Bowls has he won? Just many.
I don't care if
he's won one. You know, Eli laughed at both of them because he has two Super Bowls. A lot of guys who can't make it to Florida. Well, there's a lot of Louisiana quarterbacks that don't get into, or in Mississippi quarterbacks that don't get into the Manning Passing Academy. Wouldn't it be nice for them to have the Breeze Passing Academy to get into? The Manning Passing Academy reached 1,200 students or participants in 2005, and because they outgrew Southeastern and Tulane, they've kept it that way since then, so they don't have to leave Nichols. Okay, so they've kept it that way. How, if they would let everybody who wants to come in, you know, I don't know where they'd have to do it. So the people who still want to come, there's plenty for Breeze to have. But again, the whole, he's doing it for a different reason than Manning. Again, Manning's doing it to actually help the kids. Drew Brees does something else. Fuck Drew Brees.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. I've always said fuck anything outside of the fucking.
You've always said fuck the greatest quarterback in the Saints history. You've always said
anything that goes on outside the field.
No, you're right. I'm not making fun of him. He has said that.
Yeah, anything that goes off outside the field.
He has disparaged the greatest quarterback in this team's history.
All right. It's funny how a show with no news, we've gone on for almost an hour here.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. We haven't even talked about half the stuff we were supposed to.
And I don't even know what the fuck we talked about. So, I'm going to move us on.
We haven't even talked about the fireworks yet.
So, talk about the fireworks then. I thought we covered that in the cold open, but go ahead.
No, but it is amazing to me that not one, but two NFL players both blew off fingers.
Doctor's office.
Hi. Oh, hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. We had some fireworks that were left over from the 4th of July, and I blew one off in my hand.
So, do you not think that we're only hearing about it now and that this has happened?
I mean, how does, in the era of the social media, has been around for enough years, like this hasn't happened in the last 5 or 6 years.
No,
if this would have happened.
We would have heard about it.
Yeah, we'd have definitely heard about it.
Someone leaves the locker room with 10 fingers last year
right,
and shows
right.
up with 9 this year. You news. Seem to notice.
It's new. Yeah.
Said, hey, what happened? Yeah. You left last year. You had 10 fingers. You come back, you have 9.
So what's the deal?
Who was the other?
It was Jason Pierre-Paul.
Yeah, Jason Pierre-Paul and a random schmo for the Bucks, who's an undrafted guy. But Pierre-Paul, you know, he got franchise tag, didn't sign it, but apparently the Giants also had a $60 million offer on the table.
The Giants cut it, right? They're not gonna.
Well, they
pulled it.
Right. They pulled it after the injury, but all he had to do was sign it before the injury, and he would have gotten that contract,
or even
signed his franchise tag. The crazy part is he bought so many fireworks
before you light it.
He needed a fucking. He needed a U-Haul. He needed to rent a U-Haul to handle all the fireworks that he bought.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
Like, that's how many fireworks he bought. And then
he was celebrating his contract.
But he didn't sign any. He didn't sign shit. And here's the thing, too. The whole point about JPP, like, your Tampa Bay guy, he's a fringe guy, whatever. He didn't have the money. Pierre-Paul has a ton of money. He's probably got a posse full of his boys. When they're out there shooting fireworks, dude, you bought the fireworks. Sit back on your porch, crank open a beer, and let your boys shoot your fireworks. You don't even get close to anything.
Oh, come on, Jason. I have been in your backyard enough times. It doesn't matter who buys the fireworks. We all got to light them.
I know, but it's just crazy. Like, you got fucking fingers blown off.
These are young kids with millions.
But I mean, think about it. We were drunk and we never blew off fingers.
Right, but these are which is
incredibly surprising considering how stupid y'all both are.
It's the age-old story. You put millions of dollars in a kid's hands and all of a sudden society expects them to act differently and more mature than their age.
How about that? Just don't blow your fucking fingers off.
Yeah, it's not really a lot to ask. I mean, like, I've been shooting fireworks. I've been shooting a firework since I was a child.
Right, like, dude, I used to have bottle rocket wars with my grandpa when I was like 6 years old. Not once did I ever blow a finger
off. I'm not excusing it, but I'm also saying like I'm not surprised. I guess what I'm really saying is that I'm not surprised.
I'm a little surprised.
I'm pretty sure he was. I can only hope that it was something more substantial than a bottle rocket that blew his finger off.
Right,
I mean,
had to be.
I'm, you know.
But like, what the fuck are you holding in your hand that you're gonna blow fingers off?
Right.
Like, are you gonna? And then
you are a defensive end in the NFL. You have a certain mentality. Okay?
He's definitely got a lot of testosterone, a lot of ego.
You feel like you're invincible. I mean, defensive end more than offensive players. I mean, defensive end it's a wolf. It's a dog. It's there's nothing. I will destroy anything in my path. Whatever, but he is not scared of a fucking firework. You say you guys?
He is now.
Wait, right now he is.
Now he is. But you're scared.
He was probably trying. He was probably trying to shoot a selfie and light the firework at the same time.
Well, now, Jason, that.
You know what?
That makes some sort of sense.
That would definitely make sense. He's like, hey, I'm going to light this and selfie.
Missing two fingers at defensive end, I don't think that should affect his performance.
Well, then, I mean, how about the fact that Adam Schefter tweeted his medical records out that his fingers were blown off as he's still in surgery? Schefter tweets the fucking screenshot of the medical record. Like, that was kind of a big deal. Like, yeah, apparently journalists can do that and not be sued. But I mean, somebody in the hospital.
How he got them.
Especially like Schefter could have just said, sources say he lost two fingers.
Did
like,
you guys,
you're really going to fucking tweet out a picture of his actual medical record?
Right. And he didn't lose the fingers. He knows where they're at. They're just not attached to his hand anymore. He didn't lose them.
Wow. That's good. Okay, so how much do you think Ronnie Lott had to do with the Giants parting ways? Did y'all hear about this today?
I mean, I know the old story that during a football game, Ronnie Lott had them cut off the tip of his finger, you know, or half of a finger to keep playing. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, apparently the word is that he warned the Giants, saying they're like, there's pain, and then there's pain. Basically telling the Giants, like, it's different with an amputation, that's always going to be a lingering issue, blah, blah, blah. I mean,
really?
I wonder how much Ronnie Lott had to do with the Giants. Because
you go from a four-point stance to a three-point stance.
That's
a difference.
That's awesome.
But, I mean, it is weird. Like, the Giants went down to try to get in touch with him, and he blocked. Like, he didn't even let them get in contact with him, and then they left. Like, after the initial accident happened, Giants officials flew down to Florida. He didn't talk to them, blocked everything, and then they just like, all right, well, fuck it, we're going home. And then they pulled their offer and whatever. But apparently he says he's not going to sign a deal until he knows that he can pass a physical.
You can't sign the deal until you.
Does he have a franchise tender that he's able to sign right now?
I think the franchise tender is still out there, but they pulled the $60 million long-term offer. They pulled that. I don't know that they pulled the franchise offer or not.
What if he sits out the season? I mean, I know that's probably stupid.
Then I don't know. Then he's a...
For injury, you mean?
Or just he just doesn't sign and on his own time. Then I guess he'd be a free agent.
Play
this year. I don't know.
No. I don't know how that works.
Like, if he just doesn't... They offer the franchise tag. He doesn't sign. Nothing happens. He's just...
Could they put him on, like, IR?
He's got to sign first before they can do that.
See what's not an IR player.
So, I mean, I don't know what's...
Okay, anyway.
It was just wild that fucking two players blew off their fucking fingers, and then your boy from Florida who played Gaston put an artillery shell on his head and shot the firework from his head and died.
That's all.
Like, what the fuck has gotten into people lately?
He died?
Yeah, he died.
Yeah, this is a random asshole.
Right, it's a random... He put a mortar, like a... You know, you have the artillery shell, too.
Well, you know what?
The ball, hey, and you light it.
Let me tell you guys, we may have won the war in 1776, but you guys wait us out. We'll go ahead and take care of business. You can come take this country back.
We're just going to kill ourselves with fireworks.
Right. All right, let's move on. Good Lord, please, let's move on. Pelican, please!
Yeah, yeah. pass the ball, final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass, smash your jaw, too fast for y'all. You might take a nasty fall trying to stick with the prehistoric passenger. All rep,
no physical contact. So the roster looks to be almost set. We're just waiting on Norris Cole to hopefully sign us. If you know, nobody offers him another deal, we're going to bring back Cole. We re-signed Ajinsa. Resigned Cunningham. Kind of going with a lot of the same guys and just hope the system works better and injuries work better. And they had their first summer league game today, which you can't pay a lot of attention to summer league games. You know, a lot of these guys are not going to play in the league.
Can you say because we lost?
No, we're actually 2-0 in the summer league.
Okay.
And we've got Steph Curry's brother, Seth.
Somebody who's losing says you can't pay attention to this.
No. We have Steph Curry's brother, Seth Curry, is actually playing on the team, and he's had a couple of good games. So I mean, you can't, you know, the results, you know, individual scoring. I mean, only one or two of these guys are going to get shots on NBA teams, but it is our offense, and you know, in the couple of games, the offense has been fast paced. They had a lot of open looks, and you like to see, you know, the coaching staff get that with these, you know, if you can imagine what they can do with these guys, what are we going to do with our actual team? So it's good to see, you know, it's good to see the pace of play being implemented by the coaches. And look, you know, if Curry plays great, then maybe we sign him as a, you know, as our bench, as our last guy on the bench. I mean, you could do a lot worse than a guy like him. You know, he can shoot well. A lot of guys have said he's got NBA skills, but I mean, other than that, a lot of these guys aren't gonna do much of anything. I think we have like a Chinese or a Japanese player playing on the team. He's like a 6'9" guy. He's actually got an interpreter down here. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe we. I mean, I don't know that we have a developmental team. I know this isn't the NBA DL, but I don't think we have an actual team. But you know, we've got a couple months until training camp starts, and it's going to be kind of, we're going to be running back the same team. And it's just, it's annoying fucking Jimmy Smith being a fucking idiot, just being so pessimistic and being like, oh, we didn't do anything to upgrade, and we're running back a 45-win team, and how can you expect to do anything with all the other signings in? But, you know, last year's opening day, we had Austin Rivers, John Salmons on the roster. This year, you know, we didn't have Cunningham, we didn't have Pondexter, we didn't have Cole. You know, yet replace Monty Williams with Alvin Gentry, and you know, with reasonable health, this team should win 55 games. That's the plan they're going with. And look, there wasn't much, you know, with this year's free agency, there really wasn't much that we could do. I mean, Aldridge goes to the Spurs. The Spurs also got David West. I mean, the Spurs really jumped up and are really going to be one of the favorites this year. You know, making another run. Duncan's coming back for one more year. Ginobili's coming back for one more year. Then you had the whole Dallas DeAndre Jordan situation, which was just insane. It was absolutely bonkers.
Well, explain.
Okay, so what happens is the NBA, there's a free agent moratorium. So on July 1st, you can start negotiating with teams, but you can't actually sign a contract and make it official until like July 9th or 10th. So the moratorium opened. That's when all negotiations happened. That's when, you know, Davis agreed to his deal. It took Aldridge a couple days. He met with a few teams. But then players like say, yes, I am going to accept your offer of this and I will sign with you. And, you know, 99% of the time, the players go through with it and sign it. So DeAndre Jordan, after a few days, said, okay, Dallas, I'm going to sign with you. I'm going to leave L.A., sign with you. And then everybody's like, oh man, the Clippers have had a terrible offseason and such and such. And then after he made the decision, apparently a couple days later, DeAndre reached out to Blake Griffin and said, man, I'm having kind of second thoughts about this. I don't know if I made the right choice. So because he didn't actually sign a contract, just had a verbal agreement, the Clippers put on a full court press. Fucking Doc Rivers flew out to, Doc Rivers flew out. The owner, Steve Ballmer, flew out to Houston where DeAndre Jordan lives. J.J. Redick flew out there. Paul Pierce, who they just signed, he flew out there. Chris Paul was fucking on vacation in the Bahamas, riding on a banana boat with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. He left that to go meet with DeAndre in Houston. To basically go to his house the night before the moratorium lifted and said, hey, man, just come back to the Clips. Just come back and sign with us. So then Mark Cuban from the Clippers and Chandler Parsons from the from Dallas, you know, Mark Cuban, the owner of the Mavericks, they tried to fly to Los Angeles and basically couldn't get in his house because all the Clippers were there. They basically went to his house and put it on lockdown and basically said, "You're signing with us." Almost peer pressured him to basically say, "You're not going to fucking Dallas," even though he had verbally agreed 3 days later to go to Dallas.
Or prior.
So they Twitter blew up. Everybody's tweeting fucking emojis. Blake Griffin posted a picture of them putting a chair in front of the door saying, like, nobody's getting in the house. So basically, they just got there to DeAndre Jordan's house and sat there and played cards until the midnight deadline where he could officially sign, and then he signed. So he's going back to the Clippers. So basically, Dallas is going to suck this year, which isn't a bad thing, but it's just crazy how something like this worked out. Like, it's just bananas. Like, you'd never see something like that in the NFL. You'd never really see something like that in baseball. You know, NBA, a lot of their excitement is the free agent movement. It does cause a lot of excitement when the season's over. That's kind of what they want a little bit, but I'll be curious to see if they change the whole, all right, you can negotiate with a team, but you can't sign for another 8 days. Because it just could, you know, think about it. When DeAndre agreed with Dallas, other teams made plans to go elsewhere. You know, other teams made decisions like, okay, well, this is happening. Okay, so I'm going to do this or I'm going to do this. And then when he changes, you look back and say, well, man, this team, if Dallas knew they weren't getting DeAndre, they could have made an offer for Oshig or could have made an offer for.
But all teams can talk. So they all kind of.
They can kind of talk, but.
Who's talking to who and they're
all. Right, but
that's the whole
guy,
premise of the idea is that everybody can talk without signing.
Everybody can talk.
So that all the teams and the owners and the GMs can start to kind of. Play out
it kind of wiggle, but usually once a player makes an agreement, they don't change it. So once everybody knows, okay, well, he said this. All right, well, let's move on to this target.
That's the anomaly.
It's just crazy.
It doesn't mean that you stop the process because it happened.
No, but I mean, you got to look at it. I mean, if this can happen this year, what happened? Like next year, Kevin Durant's going to be a free agent.
That's part of
what
the fun.
No, but think about it. Let's say the Pelicans offered him and he agreed to come to the Pelicans to play with Davis to win a title. Mm-hmm. So we're thinking like, holy shit, we're getting him.
Gotcha.
We're not going to make any other kind of move, but let's bring him in.
Gotcha.
And then all of a sudden, Oklahoma City's like, shit. And somehow maybe he's having second thoughts.
Right.
And then he changes his mind. Then we might get screwed and that other players have said, oh, well, Durant's going to New Orleans, so we're going to go somewhere else. Like, it could affect you. It could affect us in a negative way.
Sure, but it could affect any team.
Anybody, right.
So
I'd rather not
– Play the game by the rule. Don't hate the player. Hate the game.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, maybe they need to change the rules so that, you know, like once it's open, when you make a decision, you sign.
Oh, but vice versa. What happens if Durant's heading to Oklahoma and we steal him from them? For the same.
Yes, that would be great.
And that's what you guys sold me on last week was, damn it, we have the best organization in the NBA.
We are definitely run, and I was talking to that with Courtney today. It's like, we are so much better run and have so much better facilities.
George Shin was here?
Yeah, 100, it's night and day.
Right. I mean, so.
It is night and day. And that's the thing.
Let the rules be what they are. Trust our organization to use those rules to our benefit.
Well, and the biggest thing for us free agency-wise will be next year when we're going to get cap space and we're going to have Davis locked up. I mean, he is going to be the reason, you know, on top of top-notch facilities, there's really not a lot of media pressure here. You know, you don't have to deal with the media as much as you would deal with major markets. And people are going to want to play with Davis. It is going to be an attractive place to come play.
And you guys said that last week, too. It's kind of like now that we know that we've got him for the next, what is it, 4 or 5 years?
5 years. I think 5 or 6 years, yeah.
Yeah.
He's
got an opt-out after his last year. But yeah. 5 years, definitely.
If we can't win a championship in the next 5 years, we don't deserve Anthony.
No. He has every right to want to go, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But while he's here, I mean, for next year's free agency – you know, he's going to be here at least another 4 years. If you want to win a ring, he's going to be the best player in the league. There's going to be a lot of players that are going to want to play with him. And that's
you're either going to Cleveland or you're coming.
I mean,
to New Orleans, right?
It's going to be a big draw. We're going to be a place that guys are going to
want
to play.
What scenario next year? Pelicans in the NBA championship.
Win or in?
In.
So in the finals. You're talking about like in this
NBA champ, the finals.
In this next up and coming season. Yeah.
Next up and coming season. What is the likelihood of that happening?
Maybe 15-20%. Probably. No.
Really?
Hey, at least
I was hoping you'd say like 50-60%.
Well, no, I mean it's just not the Western Conference is just brutal with the, especially with Jordan going back to the Clippers, it's just not. But at least half the league has a 0% percentage.
All right, so let's move on to our new segment called Not Football.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought we have this every week.
We do, but now it's called Not
Exactly.
All right, now it's called Not Football. All right, so literally, Jason, because of time crunch, you have a minute and a half to 2 minutes to talk about the British Open.
Okay. Jordan Spieth is continuing his quest for the Grand Slam. He has won the first two majors of the year. So the British Open is happening next week. It is at St. Andrews, which is the most famous course over there. The British Open rotates courses.
Well, that was very interesting, Jason. Thank you for your report.
St. Andrews gets it every 5 years. No, shut the fuck up. St. Andrews gets it every 5 years. Jordan Spieth is going for the Grand Slam this year. He won both the Masters and the British Open. I mean, the Masters and the U.S. Open. Tiger Woods played 2 weeks ago and actually had a good round. So now people are thinking, whoa. Tiger may make a run, but also the defending champ. Hold on, the defending champion Rory McIlroy shattered his ankle ligaments. He shattered his ankle ligaments playing soccer with his buddies.
I'll be honest. I would love to see Tiger win shits and giggles.
Hopefully next weekend when you get up at 7 o'clock, it'll be on TV, so you might see Tiger in contention.
All right. Well, there you go. All right. So moving on. Good segue, though, talking about Rory McIlroy hurting himself playing soccer. Women's World Cup.
Yeah, and that was actually – I meant to talk about it last week, and I just forgot it. Cause
I'm glad you didn't because since then, the U.S. women have taken back the World Cup from Japan. I mean, we nuked them.
We dominated.
That was the most exciting 7 minutes in the history of soccer.
I thought you were going to say the history of your sex life.
Both.
Right.
The opening of that game was just exciting. The U.S. came out and jumped all over them.
And folks, this is Damon who doesn't watch soccer.
No. Not just doesn't want. He hates soccer.
And he hates women.
Yes. I definitely hate soccer. But yes, it was fun. It was enjoyable to watch. Well, the first 7 minutes were.
Well, it was crazy.
I have to agree with Damon, though, that like the after the scoring stopped.
I mean, it was.
And then that lull before halftime, it kind of. But then we came back, and there's still some more scoring. I mean, I have to say, the women's soccer was more exciting to watch than men's soccer.
I mean, I don't know. Soccer looks the same to me, but I think
these women had better footwork than the men did.
It did seem that way.
Because the U.S. women are better than the U.S. men.
Yes.
And you're not going to watch a World Cup between Germany and Italy. You're only going to watch whoever America plays, and the U.S. team is good.
There's that short-haired – I know the girl that scored all the goals.
You're talking about Rapinoe. Rapinoe is great.
I don't know.
Megan Rapinoe, the short-haired blonde.
Yes. It was a couple of times when I saw – the ball comes over to the left side. I don't know the positions in soccer yet, but I'm assuming she's a striker. And
missionary.
The footwork that this girl exhibits, I mean, just like dancing around the ball – the Japanese girl, you could tell the girl from Japan just couldn't keep up. I mean, every time that girl got the ball, I was just like, holy shit. I don't even know where she's going with the ball. Just down.
I think they were the Americans and the Germans were the 1 and 2 seeds. So, I mean, we were the best. Like, the Americans are one of the best teams in the world. You know, I mean, all these girls are really great. And even – you know, one of the girls who scored in the finals, Lauren Holiday, that's Drew Holiday's wife.
Oh yeah.
So that was kind of cool. He's posted on Twitter. He was a big fan. You know, he made his own personalized Holiday jersey to cheer on his wife. So that was kind of cool. You know, you get that New Orleans connection with the U.S. women's team. So that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
And she actually announced her retirement after they won. She's only 27 years old, and she said, no, I'm retiring. I'm done. No, I mean, and actually, I mean, Hope Solo is the best female goalie out there. She won the golden mitts at the
World Cup. You know who's not the best goalie out there? Japan's goalie.
Oh, yeah. She got
I worry
she was crying. She was crying a lot after the game too. Like,
I worry that she killed herself since then.
Or some Japanese businessman said, "You failed us. You die."
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, there's a lot of honor and pride and honor in Japanese culture.
Especially when she got beat on that 50-yard kick. It's it's like, you know, like
dude,
you know,
that was just awesome.
So, but it was fun to see us dominate. And I'll be honest, like, I was watching something else and I was planning to switch over when the game started, and I was literally only 5 minutes late and I already missed two goals.
I thought Sean Payton was coaching the team because they had scored so many goals.
And I mean, look, it was nice to get up early and just be like, all right, well, we got this. But it definitely took the edge off and a little bit of the excitement off, you know, because normally soccer is a close game.
Yeah.
It really took away all the drama. It was like, well, 4-0, well, there's no chance we're losing. Right.
Then you can just show off.
Right. I mean, even though they came back and scored a couple times, it was like, well, still, they're not losing this game. Like, they're not losing this game.
It was like, yeah, that's cute.
So, I mean, it was great to win, but it definitely took a little off the edge because, I mean, yeah, I watched the semifinal game. And it was a really close game, and fuck, it was exciting. And you're on the edge of your seat for any little chance that they can get, knowing how hard it is to get a goal.
Yeah.
The finals, they're just like, nope, we got this.
The biggest story for our listeners is that, Damon, you actually watched the game.
I did. I did actually watch the game.
And you liked it.
I liked the first 7 minutes.
Well, and I mean, and the ratings were pretty massive. I want to say they got like 20
the Men's World Cup, from what I heard.
20-something million viewers they got to watch the game.
In the U.S. In the U.S.
Right, in the U.S.
They beat the World Cup.
Everyone likes a winner. I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
But especially, you know, the teams in the final. Yeah,
people like Damon didn't watch the Men's World Cup final because U.S.
was not
a contender.
Not even were they not contenders, but the game was incredibly boring.
No, but you didn't.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. The reason you didn't watch was
because America wasn't involved.
Let me ask you that.
Yeah.
So let me back up. You would have watched if the men were in it, which was not.
If the U.S. men were in it, sure.
You didn't watch because the game was boring.
You didn't watch because USA wasn't in it.
I mean, I watch football. I watch the Super Bowl when the Saints aren't in it.
Right, that's the point.
I watch the basketball when the Pelicans aren't in it.
People will not watch the World Cup in the United States unless the U.S.
is in it.
Right, because we're not interested in soccer.
You'll watch other sports like NBA and
you'll watch the NBA playoffs even though
just because that's in America. It's a
sport. Right. You'll watch because NFL is the biggest sport.
But don't say like, oh, I didn't watch it because the game was boring.
Because the game was boring, you watch it because USA wasn't in it.
You weren't watching it.
But I think most Americans find soccer boring and we don't give a shit about it.
Depends.
I mean, yeah. America's
no, you're
involved,
right. That actually,
if America's involved, we care.
Depends. I'm not gonna say depends.
We're not gonna go out and watch MLS.
Most Americans
don't care about soccer.
Stopper.
Well, it kind of makes sense.
That is a factual statement. Hey, not gonna debate it.
Because I think like America made like maybe the quarterfinals in the regular World Cup, and they got big ratings.
If soccer wants to make it in America, find a way to score more goals like they did in the Women's World Cup.
But they're not gonna change soccer rules. That's the problem. Soccer is soccer. It's like, you know, baseball is not super exciting, but at least they score a little more.
Yeah, well, baseball will soon find itself.
Well, I mean, think about it. You know, it's like hockey.
Baseball has already found itself there.
There you go. All right. Final thoughts. Jason.
My only sports-related thing is that only 2 weeks of training camp, so that's kind of fun.
That's
not related
to sports.
We only have two more weeks of off-season, which is nice. But Minions this week and then Ant-Man next week. I'll be seeing a couple of those. Yet? No, I haven't seen it yet. We're going to go see it either this week or the weekend.
All right.
I mean, it's hard to not like the Minions. The Minions are just funny.
Well, they were the best part of the Despicable
Me
franchise.
Look, the Minions are funny.
Which is why they made the movie.
You know, kind of like farce of funny, Minions are funny.
Right. Damon, final thoughts, not sports related?
Well, I'll keep it with movies like Jason just did. I went saw Terminator Genesis.
How was that? I'm very interested in that.
I enjoyed it immensely. I think they did a great job. Especially if you're a fan of the original, the 84, you know, version, and then obviously the 92 version.
Is it a better? Is it better? You know, because like the last, what was it? The last two that they tried to do.
The last two were horrible. This is 1,000 times better than the last two.
It's back in the old
mentality.
Right. The last time, the last one they did was Salvation.
Which was terrible.
Which was with Christian Bale, and I thought they had a good premise. You know, they tried to bring us forward into the Terminator timeline.
From the previews, it sounds like they're still continuing from that story. No,
supposedly it's like a total rewrite of everything.
It goes back.
It makes Christian Bale's.
But don't. He's going to ask you questions. I don't want you to spoil.
No, I'm not going to spoil. I don't know how to talk about.
Right, Damon knows how to not spoil. So what I'm saying is, the one that with that girl who was the lead and Arnold was kind of in it, and then that one, and then the last. You know what I'm talking about?
You're talking about War of the Machines.
Okay,
T3 with the female Terminator.
So that's not Terminator canon anymore. Does this movie make that not canon?
That movie is technically still ahead of this movie.
Technically, it's still possible.
Technically, it's still possible. Right. I mean, one of the great things that they could do, and I think they kind of took a bit from Star Trek, the new Star Trek series that Abrams bought. You know, remember, he blew up Vulcan, so now all these stories going forward can still happen in the same, you know, it's a different timeline.
We reset the future.
Right. They really are playing with the, the timeline. So again, like you said, it makes it hard. I mean, if you're, before you see it, watch the original Terminator on Netflix.
Okay.
Watch it.
And probably the second one, just because the second one was the best one.
The second one isn't on Netflix. They took it off last week.
Okay, well, so I own the DVD.
I own the DVD, too. But the second one you really don't have. Yes, watch the second one because it's a great movie.
You watch it because it's the best one in the series.
Right. But I'm being specific about Terminator Genesis, Jason.
Okay.
You know, you should also watch The Godfather. It's a great movie, too.
Yeah.
I'm saying before you go see Genesis...
Watch The Devil's Advocate.
No. That's what you would say. I'd say
which was one of the good movies that we saw.
And get the original 1984 Terminator fresh in your mind, because they definitely harken back there a lot.
Before you see Genesis, watch The Lost World.
Before you see Genesis, watch Trial and Error.
We fucking watched Trial and Error.
We did.
They did a great job. I can see how they can go forward.
Okay.
It's not as gritty as the original, you know, but I think that's just us in the society nowadays, you know.
You want gritty, you got to go to HBO now.
Right. But, you know, right. Yeah. But.
Oh, speaking of that, Andy Samberg, Jon Snow tennis mockumentary came on tonight. Recorded it.
That looks like the dumbest thing ever.
I think it's going to be hilarious. It's called 7 Days in Hell.
Right.
It's a tennis mockumentary. It's only like 45 minutes long or 50 minutes long.
I might be able to say.
Where did it come on? Is it available online?
It'll be on demand soon, I'm sure.
Okay, well, I'll wait. So that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. If you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
What you said?
Say goodbye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Women's World
Cup. I can't hear what you're saying, Jason. Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Hello, wait, what? Sitting in the front yard, sitting on a log, a single-shot rifle and a one-eyed dog. Yonder come a kinfolk and a moonlight, Louisiana Saturday night. Get down the fiddle now, get down the bow. Kick off your shoes and you throw them on the floor. Dance in the kitchen till the morning light, Louisiana Saturday night. My brother Bill and my other brother Jack, belly full of beer and a possum in a sack. 15 kids in the front porch light, Louisiana Saturday night. When the kinfolk leave and the kids get fed, me and my woman gonna slip off to bed. Have a little fun when we turn out the lights, Louisiana Saturday night. Oh, get down the fiddle now, get down the bow. Kick off your shoes and you throw them on the floor. Dance in the kitchen till the morning light, Louisiana Saturday night. Oh, get down the fiddle now, get down the bow.
take off your shoes and you throw them on the floor. Dance in the kitchen till the morning light, Louisiana Saturday night. Yeah, get down to fiddle now, get down the bowl. Kick off your shoes and you throw them on the floor. Dance in the kitchen till the morning light, Louisiana Saturday night.